This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of your favorite satirical news show, The Onion. I'm your reader for Mind's Eye Radio, Paxton Rogers. Please be aware that the following content is not real news, but instead is humorous material intended for your enjoyment. Top stories begin this week in politics as Trump conducts marathon reading of Arby's menu. In appeal to meat lovers. Bowing his head as he solemnly recited the fast food offerings, President Donald Trump conducted a marathon reading of the Arby's menu Thursday in an effort to appeal to the nation's meat lovers. Quote, French dip royale, classic beef and cheddar, double beef and cheddar, half pound beef and cheddar. That's from the Arby's slow-roasted beef menu, items 1 through 4. The commander-in-chief said, while a retinue of Arby's executives stood behind him with their eyes closed and their hands clasped in prayer. Quote, this is my favorite, Arby's value menu, item 2, ham slider. I love ham sliders. Don't we love ham sliders, America? I read this passage every night. I read this passage every night before I go to sleep. It's calming. At press time, Trump's approval rating had skyrocketed by 30 points. Next, what to know about tariff refunds? Following a Supreme Court ruling striking down Trump's tariffs, the administration has begun the process of allowing businesses to apply for refunds. Here's what you need to know about tariff refunds. Why did the Supreme Court rule against Trump's tariffs? Answer, the cult of personality surrounding 1913 Secretary of State William Jennings Bryan. How does a business qualify for a refund? Answer, they find a hair in their imported steel. Will consumers see any money from this? Answer, serious questions only, please. As a small business owner, how do I apply? Answer, the Trump administration has created a dedicated new website specifically for losing your application. Will this lower retail prices? Answer, Kroger executives have, shall we say, become accustomed to a certain lifestyle. And finally, how long will the refund process take? Answer, until everyone forgets about it. Next, Trump posts late night Truth Social rant claiming circuses not violent enough. Alleging that the shows had grown shamefully timid and unexciting to watch in recent years, a furious President Donald Trump posted a lengthy Truth Social rant late last night in which he claimed circuses were not violent enough. Quote, when I was a kid, a lot more people and animals got hurt, but not anymore, total disgrace. Wrote Trump, who went on to demand that elephants be visibly electrocuted by handlers, that acrobats fall to their deaths from being unable to grip heavily greased trapeze bars, and that at least one clown per performance fully bled out on the sawdust floor. Quote, I want to see people stick their heads in lions' mouths again, but it should be an untrained juggler who quickly gets decapitated. And no more nets for the human cannonball. Sorry, from now on, the cannon should be pointed directly into the crowd wherever the casualty risk to audience members is highest. If these things are done, and if the ringmaster cuts his own throat, then the circus will once again be a tremendous success. Donald J. Trump. In a subsequent post, the president said he had just discussed his concerns with Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus, which pledged to report back to him in 2 weeks with plans for introducing more Carnage into its productions. Next, At Long Last, InfoWars is Ours, by Bryce P. Tetrader, CEO of Global Tetrahedron. Let me tell you a story. When I was a child, I suffered from night terrors. It was always the same dream. I could hear my family and neighbors wailing in the street outside as they were pursued and then destroyed by a nameless malevolent force, something neither I nor anyone else could control, a great darkness that was somehow all my fault. Today, that childhood dream is finally coming true. Today, I can finally say the sweetest 9 or 10 words in the English language. Global Tetrahedron has completed its plan to control InfoWars.com. I've had a lot of time to think about InfoWars in the last year and a half. As the seasons have changed, my ambitions for the project have grown grander, crueler, better aligned with market data. Come, friends, and imagine with me. Imagine a roaring arena packed to the rafters with pathological liars. High above you in the nosebleeds are podcasters screaming that you'll die if you don't buy their skincare products. Below, on the floor, imagine demonic battalions of super influencers physically forcing people into home fitness devices designed to dismantle their bodies bone by bone and reassemble them into a grotesque statue of yourself. Out of the throngs, an extremely sick-looking man approaches you. He puts his hands on your shoulders. He explains that he is your life coach and that you owe him $800. Such is the InfoWars I envision, an infinite virtual surface teeming with ads. Not just ads, but scams. Not just scams, but lies with no object, free radical misinformation, sentences and images so poorly thought out that they are unhealthy even to view for just a few seconds. The InfoWars of old was only the prototype for the hell I know we can build together. A digital platform where every day visitors sacrifice themselves at altars of delusion and misery, their minds fully disintegrating on contact. With this new InfoWars, we will democratize psychological torture, welcoming brutal and sadistic ideas from everyone, even the very stupidest among us. It will be like the Manhattan Project, only instead of a bomb, we will be building a website. The InfoWars of tomorrow will converge into a swirling vortex of content about content, talent acquiring talent, rings of concentric media mergers processing all human artistry into one endlessly digitable, endlessly digestible slurry. This will be a dank, sunless place, one where panic and capital feed on each other like twins in the womb of a hulking, unknowable monster, a monster known by many names, but which I like to call modern-day America. All of this is to say that I believe in us. I believe that with the new InfoWars, we can alchemize the pioneering spirit of amateur inquiry, the profit-maximizing drive of corporations, and the cold mental clarity that comes only with disciplined daily ingestion of mind and body-altering chemicals. If we can do that, what other great things can we do together? I don't know yet, but I'm excited to find out. Welcome home, warriors. The future belongs to us. We are writing the story now. It's going to be a long one, and it's going to be a bad one. So settle in, make yourself comfortable, buy a tote bag. Nothing can stop us now that we're in charge of a website. Infinite growth forever. Bryce Tetrader, CEO, Global Tetrahedron. Next, oil prices plummet in big fuck you to Americans who got gas yesterday. in what is being characterized as a massive middle finger to millions of furious motorists, oil prices plummeted Friday, delivering a big fuck you to all the Americans who gassed up their vehicles yesterday. Quote, "Nobody was hit harder than the suckers who filled their tanks mere hours before the ceasefire between Israel and Lebanon caused the price of a barrel of crude to plunge 10%, said Georgetown University economics professor Elizabeth Murphy, adding that the sad chumps who figured that, if anything, prices would continue to climb actually would have saved money if they'd just waited a day. Quote, "Across the country, these simple rubes were lining up at their local gas stations to get ahead of the price hike they assumed was inevitable, totally unaware that relief was just around the corner and they were just pissing away their goddamn paychecks. While global petroleum is indeed experiencing a high degree of volatility, it's just hard to feel sorry for these dum-dums." At press time, oil prices spiked the very moment the same poor fucks reportedly pledged to hold off on refilling because they predicted everything would be stable for a while. Next, nation's dads yearn for chance to back large vehicle into tight spot. Saying the opportunity to masterfully execute a difficult parking job was never far from their minds. The nation's dads confirmed Tuesday a deep yearning for the chance to back a large vehicle into a tight spot. Quote, "Oh yeah, I could definitely fit a van back there," said Maryland father George Packard, echoing the sentiments of millions of other dads across the country who similarly wished to hop into the driver's seat of a truck or full-size SUV, check the rearview mirror, and smoothly reverse into a compact parking space. Quote, "The trick is to pull out wide and turn sharp. You gotta really crank the wheel. It's all in the positioning and angles. Look over your shoulder, mind your clearance, and move backwards nice and easy. I've definitely parked in much tighter spots." At press time, America's dads were ruthlessly mocking the pussies who rely on a backup camera. Next, pros and cons of phone-free concerts. More artists are banning phones at their shows. The Onion examines the pros and cons of phone-free concerts. The pros list: phone finally gets some alone time. Get to give full attention to Jumbotron screen. Brings back thousands of professional bootlegger jobs. Plenty of other ways to make not invited friend feel excluded. And finally, need both hands for Nintendo Switch anyways. The cons list: history affords us but one chance to document May 29th's Beach Boys concert at Atlantic City's Hard Rock Hotel and Casino from the specific viewing angle of Section 206, Row O, Seat 8. Might miss an important ad. Somehow becomes reason for Ticketmaster to charge more. Checking TikTok's the only way to get the shaking to stop. And finally, Danny California doesn't hit as hard without Google Maps pulled up. Next, only two dead in bearable tragedy. Community mourns loss of couple it will soon learn to live without. In an incident local residents have described as more or less tolerable, authorities announced Friday that only two were dead in what many were calling a completely bearable tragedy. Quote, "We're all still searching for words to talk about this loss, but the first that occurred to me were small and understandable," said Dover Police Chief Andrew McDonough, who stressed that the deaths of elderly couple Jim and Nancy Firks in a house fire were, quote, "entirely endurable in the grand scheme of things." Quote, "You expect, Miss Fortune, this routine to happen elsewhere. But here in our small town? Well, that makes sense as well. It's really a very imaginable loss." McDonough added that a small candlelight vigil would be held for the deceased at 7 p.m. for anyone still processing the loss, but admitted few in town would likely need such a thing. Next. In sports, Carlos Alcaraz credits success to tennis being easiest game in the world. "All you do is smack a ball and there's no basket or tackling or anything," says star player. Shrugging off the notion that it required any special talent or discipline to become the youngest player in history to complete the career Grand Slam, 22-year-old tennis superstar Carlos Alcaraz credited his massive success in the sport Tuesday to the fact that tennis is the easiest game in the world. Quote, "All you need to do to win at tennis is run around from left to right inside a tiny square and smack a really soft, fuzzy ball with a racket that's basically as wide as 20 baseball bats," said the 7-time majors winner, adding that tennis players don't need to concern themselves with placing the ball through a small hoop like in basketball, or worry about getting hit by a big, strong defender like in hockey and football. Quote, "Yeah, sure, there's a net, but the net is on the ground, and in tennis you hit the ball in the air, so the net doesn't matter. And in the extremely unlikely event that you do manage to hit the ball into the net when you're serving, they literally give you a second chance to just try it again. You're even allowed to let the ball bounce on the ground before you hit it. And sometimes they even give you a teammate to help you do this. I mean, the fact that female players wear dresses when they play should tell you how easy it is. You can straight up be in church clothes and still compete at the highest level. If you ever want to make millions of dollars with little to no effort, just become a professional tennis player." Alcaraz then excused himself to attend to his daily training regimen, which required him to do 10 jumping jacks, reread the rules of tennis, and swing his racket around in the air while watching the Woody Allen film Match Point. Next, NFL announces multiple games next season to be played across ancient history. Calling the move the logical next phase in the league's continuing expansion into new markets, the NFL announced Monday that beginning next season, it would begin staging several games across various epochs of history. Quote, "We've seen tremendous growth from bringing the game to destinations like London, Berlin, and Mexico City. And now we're planning on doing the same for prospective fans living in eras ranging from ancient Egypt to the Italian Renaissance," said Commissioner Roger Goodell, detailing plans to host regular season games in a number of historic and prehistoric settings, with primetime matchups slated for Victorian England, the Yuan Dynasty, and several sites on the Pangean supercontinent. Quote, "When you look at the Bantu kingdoms or the warriors of the Aztec Empire, it's clear these ancient peoples are untapped audiences for hard-hitting NFL action, offering exciting revenue opportunities for the league and its corporate partners. From the moment players disembark from our newly launched Time Zeppelin, I'm confident they'll be welcomed across the space-time continuum by these enthusiastic new fan demographics." Goodell went on to confirm that any players lost to unanticipated hazards like time paradoxes, ritual human sacrifice, or carnivorous megafauna would be accounted for within the normal framework of roster attrition. Next, in entertainment news, Coachella medical staff rush overly lucid man to emergency psychedelics tent, stressing that they had to act quickly before the situation further deteriorated. medical staff working the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival reportedly rushed overly lucid 23-year-old Zach Hillman into an emergency psychedelics tent Friday. Quote, "Thank God for the Good Samaritans who alerted us as soon as they noticed him standing up straight and watching the musicians perform. This could have gotten ugly fast," said EMT Jordan Keeley, who ushered the excessively conscious Hillman through the beaded curtains of one of many hallucinogen aid centers strategically stationed around the festival grounds to administer patients urgent doses of psilocybin, acid, and DMT. Quote, "Holy shit, he's making coherent small talk. I'm going to need 10 cc's of toad venom stat. Let's get his blood pressure way up, quick, before Moby goes on." At press time, Coachella medical staff were shouting, "Fuck, we're losing him," as Hillman stated that it was great to meet everyone, but it was time for him to go hydrate and reapply his sunscreen. Next in local news, man torn over which shirt worthy of wooden hanger. Area resident considers pros, cons of each garment. Paralyzed by the weight of the choice before him, local man Sam Corrigan reportedly spent several agonizing minutes Monday deciding which of his shirts was worthy of the single wooden hanger he owns. Quote, "I mean, it should probably be something with a collar, right?" said Corrigan, quietly holding up a nice $60 button-up he got on sale at Everlane, before grimacing and tossing it aside. Quote, "I'd go with my suit jacket, but that's already on the special cardboard hanger from the dry cleaners. Maybe a sweater's the right move. I feel like wire hangers always leave weird little bumps in the shoulders. But God, I don't know. This is tough. Why do I even have a wooden hanger? I never bought it. I mean, fuck. Should I just use it for pants? My khakis? Is that insane? It feels insane." According to reports, Corrigan was last seen pacing near his closet in small, anguished circles and angrily muttering, quote, "Think. Come on, think." Next, 12-year-old accepted into worst college imaginable. Emphasizing that her son's young age had never stopped him from pursuing his dreams, local mother Hannah Butler celebrated Monday when her 12-year-old was accepted into the worst college imaginable. Quote, "After years of hard work and skipping several grades, we are so proud that our son will be attending Duane McCaskill University, an unaccredited school with a 99% acceptance rate, in the fall," said Butler, adding that her son Connor cried when he opened the envelope, informing him that he'd been admitted to the recently founded for-profit college in central Indiana, which lacks a central campus, tenured professors, or any math and science classes for its 200 students. Quote, "He has always been so advanced for his age, and I know DMU, which is ranked 3,800th in the country by U.S. News & World Report, will only further his subpar education. Whether he decides to be a doctor, physicist, or professor, I know the college, currently being investigated for financial fraud, will get him there." Butler added that when it came to her 12-year-old son, paying $95,000 a year for a worthless diploma was worth every penny. And that concludes this week's broadcast of your favorite satirical news show, The Onion. Once again, I'm your reader for Mind's Eye Radio, Paxton Rogers. Please come back next week for more news. And until then, take care.